Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Former black shirt. Former Super Bowl champion.
Scott Chanley's my guest.
The speed and the explosiveness, I think, should excite Nebraska fans. Game film is always going to be better than practice film because everybody's going 100 miles an hour.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ.
Being a Nebraska kid growing up and not only wanting to play for Nebraska and run out in front of the sea of red, but as soon as I knew I was going to be a defensive player, that becomes one of your goals, is to get one of those black jerseys.
Scott Chanley, breaking things down.
Attack, 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 maybe give up a big play. You can live with that, but you got to be aggressive on defense. A couple guys here or there, kind of brother-in-law on it, not going full speed. It's hard to tell. What's going on?
Scott Chanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
How do you say no to Scott Chanley, am I right?
Sounds great.
Let's bring him in, Mr. Scott Chanley. Happy Wednesday to you. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How's everything out there?
Everything is fantastic. A couple of things. I have a bunch of stuff I want to bounce off of you. Did you see I just saw the story that there's a report where NFL teams are asking the NFL is asking teams to eliminate high impact drills, including the iconic Oklahoma drill, from training camps and practices as a part of obviously the league's ongoing effort to reduce concussion numbers. Are you like Oklahoma drill? It's honestly one of the iconic things of football. Like, if you just like write down like thoughts with football, like the Oklahoma drill is something that comes to mind. Like, is it a big deal to eliminate that? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to be honest, that drill has been eliminated from 99% of NFL training camps for years. This is another way that the NFL is trying to get moms to allow young kids to play football, to be honest.
Okay.
That's really all that ever comes out of these meetings when you hear things like this. They are not paying guys seven figures to line up and do Oklahoma drill in any training camp. No training camp I ever was a part of did we do Oklahoma drill or Bull in the Ring or any of those other high school or youth football type drills. They just never existed. So I think the NFL is kind of using their platform to get that stuff out of youth football in high school.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I mean, are you at the point where it feels like practices are about as like safe as they can get in some ways?
Absolutely. There's only so many things you can do to make this sport safe. Unless you're going to take the helmets off of guys, there's no way to make this game any safer than it is right now. And when I first got done with football, I told myself I wasn't going to let my boys play football until junior high. They begged me, wanted to play youth football. And I'm going to be honest, we've had, I think, one diagnosed concussion of all the 4 years for both boys I've coached, and no broken bones. We've had more broken bones at school or in soccer or falling off skateboards. And I just think it's about how you conduct practice. And like I said, you can only make the game so safe, but you can eliminate some of the drills that make the game unsafe and put the kids at risk.
So, Scott, before I brought you on, I was talking about – I was getting into, the best leaders in professional sports, and I threw out there that I think Steph Curry and Tom Brady are two of the best, if not the two best leaders in sports. And I don't know if it's a huge coincidence that they also happen to be the stars behind the two dynasties going, but – I got a couple of emails saying, hey, what about Drew Brees? He's an amazing leader. And I agree. And you're a guy that played with Drew. Tell us about Drew as a leader. What makes him special?
Hands down, without a doubt, the greatest leader I've ever been around. He has an Army General-type presence about him. When he walks into a room, obviously, the things he does on the field automatically command a great presence. But it's more about the way he conducts himself. He's an honorable person. He doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth. He lives in the film room, first one in, last one out of the facility. And when you see a guy who's the most talented guy, not the most talented guy, just the hardest working guy, you have a whole new respect for him. But I've always told people, there was one guy that I've ever been around on any team that when he starts to stand up, everybody shuts up. Everybody just notices Drew's presence, and they have so much respect for him. And I think a lot of that respect is because of the work ethic he has and how important competition and how important winning is to him.
Yeah, and within that, because I think something that's always, because I know I went through this a little bit at times in college, and I'm sure you went through it at some point throughout your career. Talk me through your mindset of when a younger linebacker comes in and you need to mentor him, but Scott, there's a chance that guy might take your job. But you want to lift everyone up. You know, you want, like, at the end of the day, you want everybody to be the best version of they can be, because then ultimately if everybody does that, you're going to maximize as a team. But it's kind of a weird situation when, like, you have to help someone that could take your job.
Yeah, and that's the interesting dynamic of sports. And you look at professional sports in general, guys are paying mortgages and paying their college kids tuition off of that job. So one of the interesting things that takes place around NFL careers early on, you're that young guy looking for that knowledge from the older guy. Whether or not you get it probably depends on what team you're on and what veteran that you're behind. But for me, as I got older, I became a little reluctant in year 5 and 6, thinking, man, I want to play 10 years. I can't pass on everything I know to the young guys.
Right.
You want to give them a basis. And you know, quickly you realize as a player, I'm going to teach him the things that I learned at a young age. And if he's better than me, then so be it.
Right.
And once you come to grips with that thinking, that is when you start winning as a team. And that's when the best players make plays. And that's something special to be a part of. And I was lucky in New Orleans. We had that older guys lent 90% of what they knew to the young guys. Not 100%, but some teams don't lend anything to the young guys trying to protect their jobs. So
yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic. That's for sure.
It is. You know, I mean, because if you really think about it, you know, it's like if the guy's better than you, he's better than you. And eventually that's going to kind of reveal itself. You know, like, I don't know if there's too many little tips that can be the difference between you being not as good of a guy but playing above him, like, over the course of time. Like, you might be able to prolong it, but, like, for, to put it in NFL terms, by about, I don't know, year 2 or even maybe week 10, like, it'll kind of reveal itself.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it, when you're an older guy and you see your physical skills start to diminish, the reason you're able to make more plays is because of your knowledge of the game. And it's a matter of how much of that knowledge are you passing on to the younger, more athletic guy, because it's a young man's game. And the biggest difference between young guys and old guys in the NFL, and old is 31, 32, is recovery time. Your body just doesn't recover as fast as the young players. And it's the knowledge of the game. There's so much going on every play in a split second, that it's all about what you do, where you're looking, who you're keying, and those little things that you pass on to young guys can make or break their
sure.
careers a lot of times.
Who was number one guy you learned from? Who kind of took you under his wing or their wing?
Without a doubt, when I came to the Dallas Cowboys, I quickly watched Dat Nguyen, who was the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. He was a great college player at Texas A&M, and you know, Dat was 5'9", maybe probably ran a 4'8", but made plays everywhere. And I thought, there's got to be a reason why this guy plays like an All-Pro,
right?
And watched him study tape. I watched what he was looking at. I watched his pregame preparation. He was in his playbook before the game. And I just kind of soaked it all in and asked a few questions, but more watched him and how he went about business.
That's cool. Scott Chanley's my guest. Hey, did you see Sue? I don't think we got the terms of it. Sue looks like he's heading to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Feel like a good fit for him there?
I think so. I think it'll be a good fit. Obviously, him and Levante David, two black shirts back together. It's a defensive scheme that allows their defensive linemen to penetrate, get upfield. And as long as he still has that burst and he's working out, staying in shape, I think he can still be a productive guy, especially in that scheme.
Hey, does it matter? Does it matter that star, like, we talked Odell Beckham missing OTAs? Like, that's all, it seems like it's a theme every year. Like, does it matter if stars aren't there at OTAs?
I'm a little torn on that. I mean, to me, if you're an established guy at a franchise, you've been there for 5 or 6 and you're going to be there for 10 years, and you don't show up for OTAs, guys get that. Guys understand that. What I don't agree with is Le'Veon Bell, you skipped an entire season of football. You have a new team. You're skipping OTAs. Antonio Brown, you need to get to know new teammates. You can't skip OTAs. Odell Beckham, you need to get to know new teammates. Be a leader. They're paying you like one of the best players in the NFL. To me, it sends a bad message when you're a new player on a new team and you don't show up for OTAs. It automatically says, selfishly, I think I'm better than everybody else. I don't need this. But it's more about building chemistry and getting to know your teammates.
Gun to your head right now, Scott, do you buy the Browns? Like, and buy, I guess, is a relative term in terms of like them making the playoffs. There's no question they're talented, but there's something about that culture that's been problematic. Like, do you buy them?
I don't. I buy that they're going to be entertaining.
Right.
I buy that we're going to have to watch them a lot because they have a lot of primetime games. I think the bar has been set way too high for them. I think Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback. We've seen quarterbacks have sophomore slumps after teams start to study what their weaknesses are. I think he's going to struggle a little bit more in year 2. He's got receivers now coming back to huddle saying, hey, man, I'm open. And now he's going to have to play that dilemma with getting the ball to certain guys. And to be honest, I think they made a mistake with Freddie Kitchens as the head coach. With all these young guys, kind of diva mentalities, you need a Bill Parcells type face in that locker room. And I'm just worried about the head coach managing that.
Feels like one of those things, like things better go well early or those diva attitudes are going to come out. You know, like they better have success in September and early October, or it could be a very long rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And their schedule's going to be tough. And you're right. They're going to have to start off fast. And, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting there saying, we lost Antonio Brown. Everybody's counting us out. The Ravens are sitting there saying, everybody's counting us out. This new right. darling Browns team is supposed to win the AFC North. These guys put that up on the marker board, and it's going to drive them to win the AFC North. And the Browns are going to have a tougher time than most people think.
Scott Chandley, Blackshirt, Super Bowl champ. Awesome stuff as always, Scott. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Take care.
You got it. Scott Chandley. Dropping knowledge. Yeah, you know, you think about the Browns, and it's like, you know, again, they're talented. I mean, they are a talented football team. But if they also feel like a highly combustible group of individuals with OBJ and Baker and all this stuff, I mean, if they don't get off to a good start, I mean, they're looking at so they open up with the Titans. Then they're at the Jets, and they got the Rams, and they're at the Ravens, at the Niners, Seahawks, at the Patriots, at the Broncos. Like, that's not the easiest first, oh God, what is that, 8 games of the year.
No. And I can't wait to see how that team handles adversity.
That's what I'm saying. It's yep. The second, you know, you lose 2 in a row, or, you know, imagine the first game OBJ only has like 3 catches for 25 yards, and, you know.
And then they get beat.
And they get yep. beat, and I'm just saying, it'd be interesting. Hey, 15 minutes away from the mailbag. Get your questions to George at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me. Seriously, it doesn't matter. Best email question is going to win some Oscars. Also got Anthony Tolliver still to come in the 1 o'clock hour, diagnosing all things NBA. Love it. Game time.